Elijah in today's passage from Kings, he is in a pitiful state. He can't take it anymore. He's had enough. It's clear that he's feeling overwhelmed and desperate. And we can understand why. You see, at this point in the story, Elijah is on the run. He's running for his life, fleeing one of the most notorious villains in Scripture. Since starting his ministry, Elijah has been at odds with the powers that be, much like prophets are. This prophet's first mission was to warn King Ahab about a drought that would plague Israel for years. And since that first announcement back in chapter 17, if you read back a little bit, he's been a thorn in the royal side ever since. Later, Elijah reprimands Ahab for worshiping other gods and blames his queen Jezebel for leading the king astray. Elijah is not making any friends at this time or in this palace. And then there comes this contest of power. Elijah gathers all the people of Israel and all of the priests of the false god Baal on top of Mount Carmel. And the prophet calls upon the Lord, who descends on the mountaintop, demonstrates that the Lord alone is the one God, and 450 prophets are killed. Elijah is in big trouble. This is the high point of Elijah's career, but then things fall apart. Elijah comes down the mountain, and he has a very upset queen. Jezebel has learned that Elijah killed the priest, and she threatens to do the same to Elijah. So Elijah makes a run for it. He flees into the wilderness, where we find him under a solitary broom tree. The landscape looks different than it did on top of that mountain when he had God behind him. The journey has become more treacherous. And so the prophet, alone in his desperation, lifts his voice and he cries to God, "Enough! Please take my life." So, just a little sidebar. The broom tree is a desert shrub that grows in Arabia and throughout the Judean wilderness. Its deep roots draw in the moisture of the land that is otherwise barren. In the Bible, desert shrubs show, such as the broom tree, appear in moments of desperation and times of divine encounter. Job describes the broom tree as a place of desolation, ruin, and abandonment in Job 30. The psalmist connects the broom tree with mourning, distress, and punishment in Psalms 120. When Elijah lost all hope, he walked in the wilderness, sat down under the broom tree, and prayed for death. When the prophet sits underneath this broom tree and cries out, God does not leave him alone. God sends an angel with bread for the journey. The Lord gives Elijah just enough food and enough water to sustain the next 40 days. Enough so that the prophet can continue his way. Enough that while the journey may be challenging, it may not be too much for him. And the way is not too much for him. As our text will tell us later, Elijah goes on the strength of this food for 40 days and 40 nights. That bread and water sustains him on his journey until he reaches Mount Horeb, where he meets God again. So you remember when he said, or when it was read, that the bread was on hot coals, on the hot stone? That bread at the time is the same thing as the manna that was shared during Moses' time. So this is not an uncommon thing for God to provide. You remember the story next that Elijah walks into as he climbs to the mountain? First, he is run over with wind, and then an earthquake, and then fire. And then, in the silence of the moment, God meets him. That's later in Kings. Under that tree, Elijah is desperate. He has lost all hope. Life's challenges are too much, and he just wants to end it all. He wants death. He is truly in the wilderness. We too find ourselves in the wilderness during difficult times. Maybe yours is a wilderness of grief, or wandering here for months or years without finding the way out. And it's just becoming more than you can bear. Enough. Maybe it's the wilderness of illness or addiction, or you've been trudging along feeling hopeless, helpless, and drained as you watch your vitality, your energy, your hope diminish and slip away. Maybe it's the wilderness of stress that comes from deadline after deadline. A new job, a new role, bills piling up, or a relationship that's falling apart. Or the wilderness of despair with the hostility that plagues our ordinary life and the unending stream of newsworthy crises. It's an all too familiar landscape for many of us. Whichever wilderness you've wandered into or are currently wandering through, most of us reach a point where the journey is too much. Like Elijah, we come to a solitary broom tree, more of a bush, in the wilderness, and we sit down and we cry out to God, "Enough, God. It's too much." We are not the first ones to come to this point. Elijah was not the first one to come to this point either. It's an inevitable stop in our journey. All of us experience it. We all get to this point, sometimes, many times along the way, where we cry out to God because the way is too much, because we are crumbling under the weight of our burdens, and we just can't make it on our own. It's easy to get discouraged when things are going bad, but we shouldn't lose heart because God is at work in our lives, even in the midst of the pain and suffering. So now comes the good news. I'm certainly not going to leave you in the wilderness. And the good news, my friends, is that God continues to be present in unexpected ways. A meal that's been prepared, a smile that's given. When you are wandering in the wilderness, you are never alone. The Spirit of God continues to ensure we have bread, manna for the journey, so that the way will not be too long. Jim Irwin, a writer and pastor, reminds us that for all of the negative things that we can say to ourselves, God has a positive answer for it. You say it's impossible, and God says all things are possible, Luke 18. You say, "I am too tired," And God says, I will give you rest, Matthew 11. You say, nobody really loves me. And God says, I love you, John 3:16. You say, I can't go on. But God says, grace is sufficient, 2 Corinthians 12. You say, I can't figure things out. And God says, I will direct your steps, Proverbs 3. You say, I can't do it. And God says, you can do all things, Philippians 4. You say, I am not able. And God says, I am able, 2 Corinthians 9. You say, it's not worth it. But God says, it will be worth it, Romans 8. You say, I can't forgive myself. But God, in all capital letters, says, I forgive you, 1 John 1, 9. You say, I can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs, Philippians 4. You say, I'm afraid, and God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy. You say, I'm always worried and frustrated, and God says, cast all your cares on me, 1 Peter. You say, I don't have enough, and God says, I've given everyone a measure of faith, Romans 12. You say, I'm not smart enough. God says, I give you wisdom, 1 Corinthians. You say, I feel alone. And God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13. Friends, we worship a God who understands that the journey is hard. A God who did not choose to be distant from us during this journey, but instead chose to be among us, suffer with us, and share our journey. We worship a God who understands, because that God sent his Son to suffer with us, to be with us, to share our journey. Elijah, like each one of us, is held by tender hands that are sensitive enough to hold the broken pieces of his life for as long as it took, and then gently put him back together with the glue of grace. You see, we are held together with those tender hands, those hands that are sensitive enough to hold the broken pieces of our lives. For as long as it takes, that gentleness, that put us back together with the glue of grace, the glue of grace holds us together. Amen.